are both temporary and inadequate. Temporary in the sense that come year two, our concern is that if the state budget crisis continues, and we have done even further movement along in the TPAs, then the CSU will be placed under some undue pressure to charge students for these assessments. They've been very clear that the cost of the assessments per student is $400. So with the inadequacy of the money, you heard the CSU testify it's a total program cost of between $8 and $10 million. So the $4 million would be inadequate for a shortfall for year one. In year two, if we're unable to get any sort of stable funding, then we're concerned that students would have to bear the cost of this. The CSU has indicated that would be one of the options for them, and so we are opposed to first-year implementation based on a one-year partial funding for the program.
Okay, given the fact that we often can't promise, I mean, we're doing the best we can in a very difficult year, and to say that we'll just abandon PPAs because we can't guarantee it as ongoing funding, we will consider the use of some of this money for TPAs. I'm not sure what this committee will do, but I think I would be loath to say, well, first place, TPA is required by law, so it's not really as optional as it sounds. Secondly, CSU, through its actions of voluntarily participating in NCATE, has moved along on the TPA. And to say, well, we're going to, because we can't guarantee it from now on, that we're not going to do it, I think would, I would question that, frankly. But anyway, we'll consider this. This is not something we're going to act on today. And did the Department of Finance want to make a statement? Go ahead.
Thank you. Kim Leahy, Department of Finance. A lot of programs have been identified today as possibilities for utilizing this Title II carryover funding. The Department of Education has indicated that $2 million needs to immediately be utilized to prevent reversion. And while we absolutely don't want to see federal funds reverted, we would like to remind the committee that the Title II carryover funding is the funding that we're using to fund CalTIDES, and while they didn't utilize their full funding this year, next year the call for those Title II carryover funds could be in the range of $6 million to $10 million.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're now moving to Issue 8, Statewide Data System. CalTIDES, California Longitudinal Teacher Integrated Data Education System. So let's... Okay, we'll first have the Department of Education testifying, and then... I'm sorry, excuse me. I believe you say LAO is first? Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I could. We respectfully request that this item be held open pending the May revision. We are currently reviewing workload for this matter, and findings will be presented as part of the May revision.
All right, we'll follow your suggestion that
on CSIS and CalPADS.
We'll be holding. Okay, good. We'll hold this open, but let's receive the testimony today. First, we'll start with the legislative analyst.
Thank you.
Issue 8.
Stephanie Furcano for the Legislative Analyst's Office again. I'll provide just a brief overview of this item, and then I'm sure the department can provide you with more details on the project. As you know, the California Longitudinal Teacher Integrated Data Education System, CalTIDES, is the state's plan for an integrated longitudinal teacher data system. It will be complementary to the CalPAD student longitudinal data system, and it's purposefully scheduled to be implemented after CalPADS is implemented. For the 8-9 budget, the department requested $1.8 million for the CalTIDES project, and the governor's budget provided that amount, $1.8 million. And this is federal Title II funds as this relates to teacher improvement, teacher quality. The status of the project right now, the request for proposal has been created by the department and the vendor, and it's being reviewed by the Department of General Services. There's been some delay in the review of that RFP, and this has pushed the project off just a few months in the schedule, but that pushes some of the costs for the 8-9 year into the 9-10 year. So the department has suggested that they may need $600,000 less than they originally requested. So perhaps the funding for Caltides could be reduced to $1.2 million for the 8-9 year. And a separate matter, and noted on page 34 of your agenda, the department was also requesting funds to support CSIS, the California School Information System, involvement with the CalPADS project. When the special project report for CalPADS was approved last year, it included a need to have CSIS's involvement in the CalPADS project. CSIS is very familiar with the local education agencies and has been working with their data systems for several years. So it's thought to improve efficiencies, save money, and keep the project on schedule if CSIS is involved in CalPADS. And for that involvement for the 8-9 year, the department was requesting $1.1 million. So our office, LAO, really supports the involvement of CSIS in CalPADS. We do believe that it's a key success factor for CalPADS and will help to keep the project on schedule and on budget and will reduce redundant costs gathering information. So we were looking at these two items together and we make a recommendation to move $600,000 from the CalTides item to CalPADS and additionally put in some language that allows CDE to grant up to $1.1 million of the new larger CalPADS amount to involve CSIS in the CalPADS project.
And does the Department of Education want to make a comment on this?
With regard to LAO's proposal, we would concur with that recommendation. We would have funding for CSIS as we really believe is necessary with no increased appropriations to the budget.
Okay. And in keeping with the Department of Finance request, we're certainly not going to take any action on this today, awaiting the May revise. I just want to add a word, and just that I'm so positive about all that we can do to move the state education system toward a more data-driven decision-making. And I think CalTides and CalPADS is a step in that direction. So seems like most everybody is lined up in that direction this year, in a year in which we have such a deficit as far as spending is concerned, yet everyone recognizes that before we can do well in education, we've got to have a proper diagnosis. And in order to have a proper diagnosis, we need a good data information system, which includes both CalTides, which is a teacher data system, and CalPADS, which is a student data system. So we'll see if these three entities agree on how to divide this money up, and we'll go from there. Did you have anything to say? Oh, okay. All right, we'll hold off on that then, not making a decision. And now we come to April finance letters, federal funds. And these are just, as I understand it, we are recommending approval of the Department of Finance April letter proposal listed in items 1 and 2 above, including staff revisions highlighted for both items. Is everyone comfortable with that?
These are technical, Mr. Chairman, and we would recommend approval. They were our proposals to begin with.
Okay.
We concur.
We concur. Okay. Can I have a motion on that?
Move these items.
All right. The items have been moved for issue 9. Call the roll, please.
Senator Scott.
Aye.
Senator Marquette. Senator Romero.
Aye.
Senator, all right.
Senator, before we leave the federal funds issue, we just got some information that relates to an issue that you folks talked about earlier, and that was the issue of the migrant state plan. What was going through my head as we were talking about it is surely there's a migrant state plan that we did in connection with the initial passage of NCLB in 2001, and it turns out that indeed that is the case. We did a migrant portion of our state plan that we submitted as part of our compliance with NCLB. So the effort right now is really updating that earlier plan rather than developing it completely from scratch. So I just wanted to clarify that.
That was 2001?
That's when NCLB was passed. I think it probably the state plan was submitted somewhat after that, maybe in 2002.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, if you could share that with committee
members. Yes, definitely.
But this is with NCLB, so it was updated, and it had been some time before the state had not done anything.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for that update. All right, now we come to the state facilities program. It's my understanding that there's been further discussion on that, and we'll allow the Department of Finance and the legislative analyst, and I see Mr. Cook is here as well, and we will discuss that. Maybe we can start with your Department of Finance. You want to kick this off?
Yeah, Lennon Del Castillo with the Department of Finance. This proposal would address some staffing needs over at the Office of Public School Construction due to an increase in audit workload and a large wave of projects that are closing out and reaching the end of their apportionment process. These projects were funded from a variety of different bond measures dating back 10 years to Proposition 1A. There's a growing backlog of projects that are ready for audit now, and it's anticipated that they're only going to continue to grow in the near future. For this reason, the governor's budget proposes a total of 7 positions, 6 of which are permanent, and 1 is limited term to meet these workload demands, and we ask for your support.
Legislative analyst?
Yes, Edgar Cabral with DeLeo, and we would recommend approval of these positions. We do think the workload is justified, and we had previously recommended them be funded on a limited term basis because we thought that there would be an ability to redirect other positions in OPSC in a few years. But after further discussions with OPSC, we realized that that was not the case. So we would recommend funding them on a permanent basis.
Okay, Mr. Cook, I don't suppose you disagree with that, do you?
No disagreement here.
Okay, well, then we have recommendations from the staff. They support the LAO recommendation to approve all 7 fiscal services positions on with the change now that 6 of those will be permanent because after discussion with the LAO this is all going to be a recommendation from our subcommittee to Subcommittee 4. So we are now, for this reason, the staff recommends that Subcommittee 1 recommend that Subcommittee 4 adopt the LAO's plan to approve the 7.0 fiscal services position, and instead of on a limited term basis, 6 of those will be permanent and 1 will be temporary. I mean on a limited term, I should say. Okay, the motion has been made. Call the roll.
Senator Scott.
Aye.
Senator Marquette.
Is this allocation of more dollars?
This is for the...
I know where it is.
Okay.
I'm all for it.
Okay. Say aye then.
Aye.
Senator Romero.
Aye.
And we also had a motion on, I think it was issue 9, wasn't it? That was technical in nature, April finance letters. We both voted for it. Would you like to add on?
Yeah, please do. Yes.
Okay, you'll add on then. Well, we are now at the conclusion of our subcommittee meeting. It was scheduled from 1:30 to 5, but we've finished by 10 till 4, and I don't think we're going to stay around here and filibuster for an hour and 10 minutes. So is there something else that somebody would like to add for the good of the order?
Well, I'd like to congratulate you one more time on your new appointment that's going to take place the first of this next year, and I thought maybe you could use an assistant.
Well, you'd certainly be a pleasant assistant. But anyway, that's been an interesting thing. I was laughing today. I told somebody, probably I've reached my high point because I'm getting all the congratulations now. And in January, I'll have to actually do the work. So anyway, okay, we'll adjourn.